Hello, friends. Welcome to Think Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Today, we'll direct our attention to verse 5 of the 4th chapter of 1 John. So for context, I'll begin reading today at 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, and I'll also read verses 5 and 6. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. All right. Last time we thought about the wonderful truth that true believers are overcomers. We thought about the wonderful reality that, as John says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Now in verse 5, the Apostle John says, they are from the world. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. This statement immediately brings a question to mind. Who are they? Who is John referring to when he says they? Well, the they of verse 5 refers to the false teachers, those teachers who falsely represent Jesus Christ and give no indication of any desire to repent of their errant ways. Those teachers are being energized by the evil spirits, energized by the spirit of the Antichrist. They, John says, are from the world. Now, in earlier Daily 10 episodes, we took a close look at what John means when he uses the word world. The word world refers to the Antichrist's social, economic, and political systems that surround us. It refers to Antichrist attitudes and lifestyle practices that are adamantly opposed to God and opposed to the character and worldview of Jesus Christ. The world is anti-Christian in its orientation. It's anti-biblical in daily practice. It's against the truth of Jesus Christ, and it's against the truth of biblical revelation. So, in the Apostle John's worldview, there's a great distinction between the true followers of Jesus and those who are of the world, those who are part of the world's Antichrist worldview, those who reject, deny, belittle, or even ignore the character, purposes, and will of Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, we read of the great high priestly prayer of Jesus. In John chapter 17, verses 14 through 16, Jesus is praying to God the Father in heaven and says this about his disciples, "I have given them your word. The world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." So Jesus himself recognized the distinction between those who are from God and those who are of the world. Now, friends, this distinction is enormously important for understanding the believer's true identity. Last time, we deeply thought about what it means to be from God and the one essential identifying mark of true believers. That essential identifying mark is that God the Holy Spirit, lives in the born-again believer. Those who are of the world don't enjoy this miraculous privilege. They don't enjoy the miraculous privilege of experiencing the Holy Spirit living, moving, and working within them. Try as they might to be, quote, spiritual. Without the indwelling Holy Spirit, the citizens of the world cannot experience the true God of the Bible. Again, I say this. If you're listening today and if you have repented of unbelief, repented of your God-belittling sins and have sought God's forgiveness in Christ, and if you've embraced Jesus Christ as your beloved Savior and Lord, then your identity is in Christ. That's who you really are. You are in Christ, and the proof is in the fact that the Holy Spirit is living and moving and working within you to change you into greater and greater Christ-likeness. That's your true identity. One of the very practical implications of this truth is that in these times in which we live, here at the end of the second decade of the 21st century, It seems that everyone gets labeled. All too frequently, the labels are malicious and degrading. Very often, the one doing the labeling is ill-informed, narrow-minded, and flat-out ignorant of the person or the situation they're labeling. Rather than cordial dialogue, kind questions, and a sincere effort to understand, some people just prefer to label. It's easier. No effort is needed. Just malign the other person with a label. It's the lazy way. You don't have to think too much, and you don't have to expend too much energy. Just label them any way you like. Just malign them with a label. The truth of the label is irrelevant. These days, it's just all too convenient to assign an identity to a person with a label. Well, my friend, if you are a Bible-believing, Christ-loving follower of Jesus, you have to engage in the spiritual battle to cling to your God-given true identity. Your identity in Christ is truth, but sometimes we lack the resolve to cling to that truth with all our might. Your identity, friend, does not rest in political affiliation. Your identity does not rest in economic or educational status. Your identity does not rest in ancestry, geographical location, career, the expectations of others, or even in your life experiences. Now, I'm not saying these things are unimportant. They are important, but they're not your true identity, or at least they ought not to be your true identity. If you're a true born-again child of God, then you're from God and you're not of the world. You're from God and you're in Christ. Now, in verse 5, the Apostle John says this, "They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them." So John gives us a little formula here. If you want to identify whether or not a person is of the world or if they are from God, here's the formula. Are you ready? Listen to what they say and observe who is listening to them. Listen to what they say and observe who is listening to them. Now, when John uses the word listens, the word carries with it the idea of having a favorable response. It's more than merely hearing a person talk or merely reading what someone has written. It's hearing someone speak and having a favorable response to those words. It's reading what someone has written and having a favorable response to those words. John says, they speak from the world and the world listens to them. The world is responding favorably to the words that are being spoken. Why? Because those words are tickling the ears of the listeners. Those worldly words are tickling those worldly ears. The world is offering a favorable response to the ungodly, antichrist dribble that flows out of their mouth or out of their pen. Specifically, John has in mind the words that contradict apostolic doctrine concerning the deity and humanity of Jesus Christ, as well as the salvation found in Christ alone and the authority of Jesus Christ. Remember, the world antichrist system is built around taking away glory from God. The world antichrist system is built around the principle of belittling God and the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Those who are of the world will habitually belittle God with their thoughts, words, and actions. Those who are of the world will be in the habit of robbing God of His glory. They'll be in the habit of belittling the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And they'll be in the habit of belittling, ignoring, and twisting the Word of God, the Scriptures, for their own benefit. And guess who will be listening with welcoming and attentive ears? That's right. You got it. Those who listen favorably are of the world. As we know, John is referring to the world in an ethical sense. He's referring to the world of men and women who are in rebellion against God and who celebrate all that is in opposition to God. Those who are of the world have great devotion to the world's values, pleasures, pastimes, and aspirations. They speak out of their own character. They speak in ways that are in opposition to the truth of God. They refuse to genuinely confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. At best, those who are of the world will have a truncated or distorted view of Jesus. At best, they may be interested in Jesus, but they want Him on their own terms. They want Him as Savior, but their own kind of Savior. They don't mind Jesus being Lord so long as Jesus doesn't exercise too much of His Lordship over their life. At worst, these men and women who are of the world flagrantly reject and blaspheme Jesus Christ. They exalt religions, worldviews, and attitudes that deny the unique authority of Jesus Christ over all aspects of life, and thereby they reject God. In chapter 3, John has already declared that the world does not know the true biblical Jesus Christ. In his gospel, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10, John confirms that the world rejected Jesus when he came. And shockingly, John will soon tell us in 1 John chapter 5 that the whole world, its systems, its priorities, its allegiances, its values, and those who are devoted to it, all of it lies in the grip of the evil one. Next time, we'll think about what it means to listen to the apostolic message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10. Join us again next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.